Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Did you bring your Bibles?
Yes.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 19 through 25. And we're going to go here. Here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, "We Are Convinced of God's Promises." We are convinced of God's promises. And so here again, Paul the Apostle is writing to the Romans, and he's explaining to the Jewish readers at the time, and now to us as Gentiles, that it was all about the righteousness of God given to us Gentiles as well as to the Jewish people, but it was all through faith. We're learning that it's the righteousness comes to us by faith. And so there's nothing that we can do to earn that God's favor. We can't earn this grace. We can't earn his righteousness. But when we believe and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the miracle takes place. Did you know that we're all miracles in here?
Yes.
We're all miracles.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Before we got saved, where were we? Man, we was, what, downtrodden, lost? A lot of us were didn't know that we were dying in sin and ready to go down into the bottom of the pit, call hell. But God in his mercy came to save us. Amen. And so let's go and read verses 19 through 25. By the way, this is going to conclude chapter 4. And when we pick this study up again, we'll be in chapter 5. So let's read and see what the Holy Ghost will have for us tonight. Amen. Here it goes. "And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old." We're talking about Abraham. "And the deadness of Sarah's womb," verse 20, "he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory," what, "to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was," what, "also able to perform." Look at this in verse 22. "And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness." Why? How was it accounted? Because of his, what, faith. Faith. All he had to do was believe in God. And remember, there was a whole bunch of idols that they sold in their store. I don't know what, even Sarah joked, "Which God spoke to you, the one in the second shelf or third shelf?" No, it was the voice that came from heaven. Thank you, God. Look at verse 23. "Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him." In other words, it was imparted to him. It was placed upon him. Impute means is to cast upon, to put upon. And not only on, but in us. My goodness, this is what God did. He did it for us. Look at this. It says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also," look at verse 24, "but also for us." Turn to your neighbor and say, "It was for you.
It was for you.
And it was for me." Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. "And it shall," what, "be imputed to us who believe in him." Him is Jesus. Or God, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Look at that. "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." Wow. Something that you and I did not deserve, yet God graciously gave us. Man, isn't it awesome? Even in our latter years, I like to say me, in my latter years, I'm considered now a senior. When you turn 65, you're a senior, right? Or is it earlier than that now? Okay, well, I'm going to say now, senior, 65. You know what? I'm enjoying my life more right now than I did also in my BC years or my young years. Yeah, I was athletic. Yeah, I could run and not get tired. I get all that. But little did I know, I was going to hell. And then God saved me. And now he's allowed me to minister to you in my latter year. These are my best years. I love these years. And you should, if you've been walking with Christ, your latter years are your best years, the Bible says. So let's look at verse 19. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was what? About 100 years old. And the deadness of what? Sarah's womb. Wow. Wow. So look, I went back to Genesis, and we look at that verse, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. Now, we all know that Sarah laughed at this, didn't she? When she said, I'm going to bear a child at my age, she kind of like, yeah, all right. Wouldn't you say, yeah, all right? Because nothing like this has ever happened in the history of mankind. But yet God had sent a promise. Let me just say this. If God has promised you something and it hasn't come to pass yet, doesn't mean it won't.
That's right.
You have to believe that God's going to bring it to pass. Some of you have been praying for children, grandchildren, spouses, aunts, uncles to be saved. Someone on the job. Someone that you truly love and you don't want them to perish. And you're praying for them. How many of you can honestly say, I'm praying for someone?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All of us are, aren't we? Well, guess what? We got to be like Abraham. We got to believe. And Sarah mocked and laughed, but still, God brought it to pass. You know what? God looks past our ignorance. I hope you know that. He looks past our ignorance. Some of us can be ignorant.
Yes.
And yet, God still looks past that, don't he? Huh? He even gets us out of jams. Huh? Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Look at this. Look at Genesis. Look at Genesis 17:17. Then Abraham, look at this. He fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Even he like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you sure, God? Look at this. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? I think the other day it was on the news. They were celebrating the oldest lady, I think, known in North America. She was 109, I think. 109. I think I would, at that age, I want to go home. I've seen everything, experienced everything. I want to go home now. But you know what? You don't go home until God says you're coming home. Amen? And so look at this. I found this in Genesis 18:11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. So she was long, long gone already. And yet God still made a promise. Now if we're looking at this, and we're looking at, whoa, wait a minute, God, 99, 90? And yet God said, you are going to bring the lineage of the Messiah, and you shall bear a child. Let's just say you just got saved today, and you're reading the Bible for the first time, and you're reading this story. Wouldn't you say, well, wait a minute, how could that be? How could that be? Well, with God, all things are possible. All things. You know, that lets me know nothing's too hard for God. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what predicament we're in. God can see you through. Can I get an amen? There's always hope in Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And so God builds our faith up when we hear God's word, when we read God's word, when we pray together, when we exhort one another, when we lift each other up. And that's what we are called to do, never to tear down, but to build up. Amen? And so, saints, after what we just read in Genesis, Abraham believed God's promise that he would become the father of many nations, even when they laughed and questioned. He believed against all hope. And that is beyond any possible natural hope, because he was too old to be a father at the age of 100, and his wife was well past childbearing age and never had been able to even what? Have children. She never had a child. Her womb was closed for some reason. We don't know. There's no explanation other than you're going to have the child even at that age. Can I get an amen? Wow, it's like, whoa, okay. It was God's timing, yes. And yet Abraham realized that God's ability to fulfill his promises outweighed the circumstances. And it really did. Because when you have faith and you believe, I don't care if anyone's around you and it's going to question, are you sure you heard from God? Yeah, if God promised you, you could take it to the bank. People will question that. People will say, yeah, right. I don't know if you really heard from God. No, when God speaks to you and promises you certain things, don't let your faith waver. Can I get amen? Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to speak lies. Yeah, right. You healed. Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, he'll come in many different forms and fashions and try to discredit what God promised you. Believe God. Believe God. And so Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though when they, a childless couple, remember, they didn't have a child. And he went into his, what, handmaiden. That was illegitimate. Had been promised descendants as numerous as the stars. It was possible, but Abraham believed God. I mean, if someone told you at that age that you're going to have descendants more than the stars you see in the heaven, you would think, I don't know. Is that possible? Yeah. And I would say 99.9% of people that would be given this promise would doubt God. They doubt. Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. But Hebrews, I love how Hebrews brought this out. Let's go to Hebrews 11:11. Look at this. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So in other words, she came to a point and says, I'm going to believe you, God. And that's why we have to come to a point in our life, amen, that we must believe God no matter how long it's been. Because the enemy is going to try to wear you out. He's going to try to wear out your patience. He's going to try to wear out what God had promised you to, so that you can just take your focus off of God and then what? Just focus on the circumstance and let the devil blow it up. That's what he wants to do. He wants to blow it up so that you explode, and then all of a sudden you're not believing God no more. But how many know that the devil's a liar?
Yes, he is.
He's a liar and the father of lies. Look at this in verse 12. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. What Paul wrote here in Hebrews was this man was already close to the age of dying. And yet, God promised it would come through Abraham. Wow. Incredible story, yet a true story. Amen? So now, let's move on to verse 20 of Romans chapter 4. And look, it says this. And he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Key. That's key for us. As you're going through, as you're waiting for your promise, give glory to God. All of it. Give all the glory to him. Say, Lord, I'm going to believe. I glorify you and magnify you. You see, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise because he was able to take God at his word. Praise God. Abraham persisted in believing. Thus, his faith grew stronger. When you continue to believe and believe and believe and not receive negativity, and you cast down doubt and unbelief, your faith will so increase that you know without a without all certainty that God's going to deliver. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
But here's the key. Right up here. Look at this in verse 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. Look at this. But, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to put that in there. In your Bibles, 11:6. What does that say? Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11. Oh, we're in Bible study tonight. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's the key. Diligently seek God for that promise. Amen? You see, Abraham was able to trust God to do what seemed humanly impossible, and even to glorify God before the results were apparent. You know what that tells me, saints? Start thanking God for the promise. God, I thank you for the promise. I thank you, God, that you're going to save so-and-so. I thank you, God. Thank God in advance.
Yes.
Thank him for your healing.
Yes.
Say, God, I am healed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The doctor says I'm this and that, but guess what? I am healed.
Come on.
I am healed by the what? By the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By the blood of Jesus. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't say what he's going to say. All he is practicing on you anyway. That's why they're called practitioners.
Thank you, Jesus.
They're practicing on you.
Thank you, Lord.
They didn't create you. They're just looking at numbers and they're going, looking at charts. Oh, yeah. But you know what? They don't know that God's in total control. Can I say amen? We got to believe God for all things. That's right. Look what I found in Proverbs right up here. In Proverbs 3:3. Look at this. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. You see, truth and mercy, God's mercy, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. What does that mean? I say, God, I know I'm healed. And you tell others, you know what? God has healed me.
Yes.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God has delivered me.
Yes.
God's going to do this for me. God has done that for me. God's about to do something miraculous. You got to let people know who God is. Amen?
Amen?
Even when you don't see it just yet. Praise Him.
Amen.
Glorify Him. Magnify Him. Thank you, God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6, look at this. In all your ways. Does it say some of your ways? In all your ways. What? And he shall what? Direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to
Hallelujah.
Your bones. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, we want blessings of God, but God is saying, you know what? Also depart from evil.
Right.
Don't put your eyes on evil things. Don't let your ears hear evil things. And avoid people that have nothing but a potty mouth.
Amen.
You know why? Because they'll try to get you to engage with them on that.
Right.
Walk away. See, if you can't speak in a different language than that, I have nothing to say. And then they'll come around you, oh, excuse my French. Well, I didn't know only French curse. You ever hear that? Oh, excuse my French.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so in spite of all this, saints, Abraham was clearly human and imperfect. We knew that, wasn't he? He had weaknesses and fears and had habits. And guess what? He also lied under pressure. What?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that Abraham lied under pressure?
Yeah.
Let me just say this regarding us. Whenever we are under serious pressure in this flesh, we are prone to sometimes lie.
Yeah.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Why? Because this body of flesh wants to defend something, whatever it is. We want to defend ourselves, or we want to make a point, or we just, you know, got caught with our hands in the cookie jar. And someone's calling us. Someone's calling us out on something. Okay, and then we lie. Well, Abraham lied. Remember? God said, go this way. He says, no, I got to go. It's faster to go to Egypt. And he took Sarah down to Egypt. And guess what the Pharaohs did? They took his beautiful wife. They wanted her now. And now he's going, oh, God, that's my wife. Well, why did you go that way? You know what? He lied. That was my sister. He said, that was my sister. Wow, he lied. And through his lying, and through his weakness, and through his anxiety, and through his fears, God still saved his bacon. Oh, he got caught. He got caught. But God still pulled him out of there. That should give us not reason to lie, but saying it, we do. Oh my God. God, I know you'll help me through this. And the key is just to repent. Cry out, say, God, I'm sorry. I should have, yeah. See, the Bible describes Abraham with all his flaws. This is what I love about what God showed us about Abraham. You know what? He wasn't a perfect man. He had flaws like you and I. But as a man of faith, he endured. He still believed God through, even through his what? Tainted past. Thus, Abraham's faith could not have been anything but simple trust in God. Yet God honored that. Did you catch that? God looked past all the junk and saw that he still loves me and he still trusts me. You know, sometimes that's all we have left. Is I trust you, God. I love you, God. And God says, that's enough. That's all I need. Because I know what you're made of. You're made of sinful dust. And until you get the new body, you're going to... God knows we struggle. Oh, come on. God knows we struggle. That's why he came to save us. We all struggle. But look what... This is why I love the Word of God. Because God puts in the Word things that when we find ourselves in certain predicaments, God makes an escape for us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this right up here. Look at this in 1 John 4:10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be what? The propitiation for our sins, meaning the substitute. He was the substitute. In other words, he went to the cross for you and I, for our sins. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also what? Ought to what? Love one another. Love one another. See, God's always going to, he's always going to love us. I don't care what we do. Now, this is not a greasy grace message. Because if we sin purposely, he will chastise us. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. We do things that are outside of what he has called us to do and to act and to behave and obey, he'll deal with us individually. He's dealt with me many times. You've heard me say, he's taken me to the whooping shed a couple times. And I don't like it there. I start crying in there. No, God, get me out of here. You see, Abraham is a model, not just for the Jews, but for all people as a person of faith, who realized he was totally dependent on his creator for some things, no, for all things, even life itself. Praise God. Let's move on to verse 21 of Romans chapter 4. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able, what? To perform. You see, saints, surrounded by a society fully of immersed paganism. It was all where he came. God said, leave that country. Take you and your wife and your family and get out of this country. Why? It was full of pagans. Where little gods came by. the dozens and were subject to human manipulation. Abraham dared to trust God, that he could not control. You got to remember, they control their little gods. This is a god for this. This is a god for that. But he couldn't control the God that's in heaven.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen? He had no choice but just to fall on his face and obey. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And Abraham did not say, well, we'll see what happens. No, he didn't do that, did he? Instead, he was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything that he promised. Can I get an amen? Look what I found right here in Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time, and Sarah shall have a son. Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Time and time and time and time and time again, God has proven himself to us as the awesome, mighty God. The God of all promises, the God of all grace. He's magnificent. He is our all in all. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the creator. We are the created. And he created us in his image. That's why he loves us. Did you know that? If you created something in your image, you're going to love that thing. Look at what I just made. And so with all our faults and failures and all our shortcomings, did you know that God still loves us? That's right. He still loves us. Praise God. So there's nothing too hard. Abraham's faith was in God alone. Who was another character that comes to mind that knew that God had promised and that he loved God with his whole heart? Who was another patriot in the Old Testament that we could think of? Who? King David. King David. Look what I found in Psalms 86. Look at this. In Psalms 86, King David wrote this. Among the gods, little g, that's all these idol worshipers that have created little gods. He goes, false gods. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. And who's the God that we glorify? Jesus. Look at verse 10 right up here. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, and I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name, what? Forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Sheol means hell. Delivered him. Listen. King David was a man of war. He had blood on his hands. Yet because he loved God, and God knew that whenever he would fall, he would cry out for forgiveness. You know, God loved that man. He loved King David. You know why? Because he had a heart after God, despite of himself. And this is what I love about us. We have a heart after God. Because we love him. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. And Abraham never doubted that God would fulfill his promise. So now, let's move on to Romans chapter 4, verse 22. Look at this. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness because of his faith. Accounted to him. Did you know that we all have an account with God? Just imagine. I'm just going to pick an area of our life. Let's look at our finances. And God, let's just say, if you look at the accountant, or you look at your bank account, And you're going, wow, there's nothing in there no more. Yet, God has accounted to us as righteous. So everything that He created, every beautiful thing that we haven't seen with our eyes yet, has been given to us. I like to use an analogy. As a realtor, I've been to almost every high-end little city in the city of San Diego. We call it sub-cities. And one of the most wealthiest places is Rancho Santa Fe. And there are $40 to $50 million homes. And we took a tour, and some of those houses look like giant college campuses. They're huge. $40, $50 million. 25 bedrooms. Each one of them have a bath. 3 kitchens. They have tennis courts. They got basketball courts. They got swimming pools that come in to the living room, and you can swim and go out into the yard. I mean, they have everything. They have movie theaters in their home. The square footage is something like 30,000 square feet, at least. 30,000 square feet? Some of us live in, what, 1,200 square feet homes. 700 here. 30,000 square feet. And yet, I need you to hear this. No matter what man has to offer at its best, it pales in comparison to what God has prepared for you and I. Can I get an amen? Amen. We don't have a clue yet until we actually see it face to face, what God has created for you and I. It's going to blow us away. Because He said, I go away and I prepare a mansion for you. How many believe that promise? Huh? If we're believing all this, then you have to believe that Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. And when I come back, I'm going to receive you unto myself. That's a promise. So don't let what's happening right now. You see the wars, the rumors of wars. You see all this chaos going on. You see the political atmosphere. You see our bodies failing us. Don't let all that be a distraction, because there is a greater, hallelujah, hope for us. And it's beyond our comprehension. God's just allowing us to go through these things of life to prepare us for what He's about to reveal to us. And we're going to be blown away. Amen? Oh, that's right. And so, it was this absolutely convinced faith that Paul called when he preached the gospel. Faith that relies on nothing but God. Can we have that same kind of faith? Or do we doubt? Faith in God, who gives life, sustains life, and has power to keep His promises. I showed this one scripture. I believe we need to see it one more time. But without faith, it is impossible, what? To please Him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now look what I found in the book of Mark here. And this is what Jesus says. Look at this. In Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Say that with me. Have faith in God. If Jesus is saying have faith in God, God's telling Abraham to have faith. Paul is telling us to have faith. Then guess what? We need to have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. What? This is why you have to have a made up mind. I don't care what someone said I have. I don't care what someone said I've done. I don't care what the bank account looks like. God is greater than that circumstance. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you have faith, hallelujah, God will bring it to pass. You'll be able to move mountains in your life. How many feel like there's a mountain right now in front of you? Oh, come on. God's going to shove it out of the way and give you hope and give you a future. Look at this. Praise God. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you have them. You will have them. But you got to pray. How many believe that we have to pray? Amen. We have to pray. So now, let's move on to verse 23 of Romans chapter 4. It says, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. And so, saints, it was that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. It described not only how Abraham became righteous, but how what God had said. Look at this in Genesis 15 right here. Look at this right up here. In Genesis 15:5. Then he brought him outside and said, look, now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. How many of you been camping in the desert before? And there's no city lights. Or in the mountains, there's no city lights. And it's a clear sky. You'll be able to see shooting stars. And you'll see millions, if not billions, of stars up there. You can't count them all. They're just there. God put them all there. He said, your descendants are going to be far greater than these. What? Wow. So shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him as what? Righteous. And also, saints, how all his descendants, his spiritual descendants, can become righteous before God. So, when he said that all your descendants, guess what? That included us. God was not just looking for the nation of Israel. He was looking at you and I thousands of years later. Why? Because Jesus would come through the line of Abraham. So through the lineage came King David. Through King David came the Messiah. And 2,000 years later, after the crucifixion, we're here because of that. You see how you connect the dots? And how God's grace was passed on to us? Well, Paul wrote this earlier. We read this a couple of weeks ago. Look at this. In Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be what? According to grace. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who were of the law back in his day. But also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Who is the father of his what? All. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I'm telling you, God did a wonderful job. And he did it all for us. Did you know, if you make it personal. He did it for you. Think an angel, he did it for you. God did all this for you. Sister Vera, God did this all for you. Sister Vicky, God did this all for you. Sister Dolly, God did this all for you. Where's Sister Yolanda? I know she's here somewhere. God did it for you. Fractured foot and all, he did it for you. Katerina, God did it for you.
Yes, he did. Praise God.
Listen, he loves us. When you leave her tonight, know that God loves you. And he's got the best yet to come. We're just scratching the surface of what he's about to do with us. And so, Jesus will declare us to be righteous if you and I can just believe in God who brought Jesus, our Lord, back from the dead. Remember, the apostles thought it was over. It wasn't over, was it? It was just the beginning. What makes us acceptable to God is not our works, but simply exercising the kind of faith Abraham did. We got a couple more verses to break down in Romans chapter 4. So let's move on to verse 24. But look at this, verse 24. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord From where? From the dead. And so Abraham had to simply trust in God. And that trust was confirmed in the immediate promises Abraham witnessed God fulfill in his lifetime. How many can truly believe that God has already fulfilled some promises in our life? I could be here all day just testifying what God has done. Hallelujah. What he's done, what he's done, what he's done, what he's done. We would be here all day. Every one of us. And he's not done. He's still writing. You know what? You've heard it said like this. We're still writing our testimony. We still have more. Come on. That's right. He's not done yet. He's not done yet. But he faced death without seeing all the promises fulfilled, nor understanding how God would fulfill them. You see, God had promised that all, through you, Abraham, all the nations would be blessed, and that all these stars you see will be what? An inheritance unto you. Well, he died believing that. And now, thousands of years later, we have been given the promise. No differently. But Jesus went back to him. When he died, Jesus went back and he preached to the old patriarchs. And freedom from a holding place. It wasn't hell. It was just a place where they went waiting. And Jesus came and took them all out of there. Wow. But he faced death without seeing all the promises I just said. The writer of Hebrews described the quality of this faith in glowing terms. All these faithful ones died without receiving what God had promised them. Sarah, all of them. Noah, King David, all of them. They all saw from a distance. And then they died in the flesh, not yet seeing the promise. What was the promise? The Messiah to come, to give us all eternal life. And yet, look what Hebrews says right up here. In Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This is what we have to view ourselves on this earth. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. We're on a pilgrimage. You know, when you go visit Israel, unfortunately, they had canceled your trip because of what happened. What was it? The war broke out, or October 7th. Okay. Those who go to Israel are considered pilgrims. And so when you meet your tour guide, they go, "Welcome, you pilgrim." Yeah, they do. Because you, now you're in their land and you're a pilgrim. Just going through. You're just going through, and then you come back home. But little do they know that they took it out of context when they said that. You and I are pilgrims on this earth, and we're just passing through. We're here but for a moment. And so the moment that we're here, let God use you.
Yes.
Let God use your life while we're here passing through. Don't have idle time. Every day we should look, who can I bless? Who can I pray with? Who can I lead to Christ? Who can I lay hands on? This is what we need to understand, that we're here but for a moment. How many believe that we've been given the Great Commission? And if you don't believe that, then believe Jesus, because I have it right up here. Look at this in Mark 16. Look at this. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will what?" That's right. And it doesn't matter what time you get baptized. It could be at 10:30 at night.
One in the morning.
It don't matter. Look, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This is in the book of Mark. Look at this. He who believes and is baptized shall what? Be saved. But he who does not believe will be what? Ooh. Look what else I have up here. And these signs shall follow those who believe. And we're believers in here tonight, right? Look at this. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. Can I get an amen in the house? Come on. God has given us the great commission to do that. Don't shortchange God. God wants to use you. And listen, there are times when God is saying, I want you to go pray for certain individuals. Whether you know them or not, you come boldly. Even if it's a family member, you come boldly. Forget about what they may think. Well, I remember you. Who are you to pray for me? Get past that. Just go lay hands on them. Do what the book says to do. Walk in there with faith. Walk in knowing that, you know what? God told me to pray for you. And watch God do the miraculous. Watch God raise up. Can I get amen? Oh, we serve a merciful God. A mighty God. And so we're going to look at our last verse. Verse 25 to conclude chapter 4 of Romans. And here we go. Verse 25. Who was what? Delivered up because of your offenses and was raised because of our justification. Jesus had to rise again. Listen. This Sunday. Don't miss this Sunday. Some of you never heard of me teach on the feast of Passover. And we're going to tie in. You know, and this year, it was so off. Because normally, Easter Sunday is close to the Passover. You know, we're talking about the Gregorian, you know, celebration. It's not biblical. You know, because what does a bunny rabbit have to do with Christ rising from nothing? And what does a Reese cup that looks like an egg have anything other than give me a couple of them and I'll eat them? That's all. But we're going to see. You guys are going to see, maybe some of you for the first time. Listen to me, those of you who are online. Don't miss next Sunday or this coming Sunday. Because I'm going to show you through the death, burial, and resurrection how it ties in with the Passover feast. It's going to tie in to the movie you just watched maybe 3 weeks ago, The Ten Commandments. You're going to see the correlation. You're going to see the foreshadow. You're going to see what God had already prophesied, what would happen on that particular day and thousands of years later, how God had passed over our sins. Woo! When Jesus comes for us, he has passed over our sins. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And guess what? What was the main denominator in the Passover and the resurrection? What was the one thing that was in common? Come on, Bible scholars. The blood. It was the blood. Remember, they told him to put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost. Well, Jesus died and shed his blood on the cross. And the same way that God spared the Hebrews, God spared us. And you're going to see that on Sunday. Amen. I'm excited about Sunday. I love when the feast days roll around because we could preach on the seven feasts of the Lord now. So, once again, the scripture up here says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Jesus died because of our sins, taking the penalty we deserve according to God's plan. Just as God brought life from Abraham and Sarah, even though they were dead and unable to have children, God raised up Jesus from the dead no differently. The way he opened up Sarah's womb, who should have been dead. The same way he opened up that womb and that child came out is the same way Jesus died, rose again for us. Same type of God who does the miraculous beyond human comprehension. You won't find this in the medical journal. You have to believe it by faith. Can I get an amen? Because look what I found in Isaiah. A couple of scriptures we want to talk about and then we'll close. Isaiah 53, look at this. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him and stricken him, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded, what? For our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was what? Upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Praise God. Praise God. And look what Paul wrote in the Corinthian church. And we'll close with these scriptures here. In 1 Corinthians 15:12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul's always asking these rhetorical questions. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't risen. But we know he has, huh? But there's some that don't believe he did. Look at verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he had raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. Look at this. In fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Paul was speaking to these unbelievers, saying, okay, if he didn't rise again, then guess what? None of us are saved. But yet, we are saved because he did rise. So look at this in verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins. Just imagine, if Jesus didn't rise again, we would still be in our sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. So look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men of the most, what? Pitiable. Wow. But hallelujah. How many know that God has risen again? Huh? He has risen again from the dead. And maybe you're watching right now for the first, second time. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I just read these last few scriptures. There's still people that believe like this. Don't be in that category. Just cross over and say, you know what? I'm going to believe that God died for me and that he will save you. He will save you from yourself. And so I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me and to pray for you that God would do something miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. In Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy?
Worthy.
Woo, the Lord is worthy, and he's worthy what? To be praised. Amen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.